Morning. Pleasure to be back here. In a few short days, we begin that period of the year where we focus once again on Churban HaBayis, period of Avelus, and we begin to think and focus on what it is that we're actually missing in our lives, and of course then how we set about recapturing it. What is it that we're missing? We're missing the Shekhinah. But if we ask ourselves, when did we lose the Shekhinah? The Gemara tells us in Yuma Chafala, the famous Gemara, that we actually lost the Shekhinah at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. It's one of the five things the Gemara enumerates, which unfortunately disappeared with Churban Bayis Rishon and did not return in Bayis Sheni. And therefore, when we ask ourselves the question, so which of the Bote Mikdash do we mourn for on Tisha B'Av? If it's Shekhinah that we're focused on, then one would have expected the answer to be Bayis Rishon. And yet we see very clearly expressed in Halacha, won't go through the whole Halacha, just read out a few words of the Mechaber. The Mechaber in Tosfos Mem Pesis Beis says that we see clearly Bayis Sheni Chomer Lan, it is Bayis Sheni that is more Chomer, and therefore when we fast on Tisha B'Av, we are fasting primarily for Bayis Sheni. The question therefore is, if it's Shekhinah that we're lacking and Shekhinah that we're trying to get back into our lives, that was lost at the end of Bayis Rishon. So what does this mean? Famous Gemara that we're all familiar with, when we begin to examine the root causes of Churban, famous Gemara in Yuma, that test, the Gemara says, Mikdash Rishon mitnei Machorev mitnei Shlish Dvarim Shehoyu Bayi Avedazaragilarasmishvichasdami, the Gemara we're all familiar with. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of our engagement with, our involvement with the three cardinal sins, Avedazaragilarasmishvichasdami. Avo Mikdash Sheni, Shayoiskin Betoiro, Bemitzvah Sugminas Chasadim, Ibnay Machorev, at the time of Bayis Sheni, they were Oisek. They didn't just learn in an offhand, casual manner, but they were Oisek. But Torah of the mitzvahs of Gminis Chasodim, if they not chorem, if they shahoisa by sinas chinam. Because, as we know, famous statement, there was sinas chinam, the lamedcha, and this teaches us, as the Gemara goes on to say, the Gemara says which one is worse, and the Gemara says, Tnu enichem babira, look and see, first Beis HaMikdash, that was destroyed for the three cardinal sins, and 70 relatively short years later, we have the bias once again. And yet, by Sheni that was Sinas Chinam, we're still waiting. Bira Techiach, we're still waiting. L'lamedcha, to teach us, Sheshkula Sinas Chinam, K'neged Sholesh Avedus, to teach us that Sinas Chinam is Shkula, and in other statements in Chazal, it appears to be worse than the Gimel Avedus. First thing you see in the Gemara, by the way, is interesting, and that is, they were Oisek, Batayra, Ubamitzvot, Ugmilos Chasodim. You see that it is entirely feasible, not just to do chesed and do it in an offhand manner, but to be oisek in gemilas chasodim. People that were involved with, taken up with gemilas chasodim, and that can coexist very happily with sinas chinam. I can be busy, it's an amazing insight. I can be busy all day long with gemilas chasodim, and yet be rotten to the core. Have sinas chinam. Sinas chinam can coexist very happily within a person that is oisek all day with gemilas chasodim. But the real question here, of course, is how can this be? How do we understand this? How is it possible? Is it indeed, the Chazal says, of course it's correct, but how do we understand it? Sinas chinam is as bad as, or possibly worse than, Avodah Zarah Gila Arayis and Shvichas Domim. Well, let's examine it halachically. Not just the Dibrei Agada, let's look at it halachically. Somebody puts a gun to your head and says it's your life or it's avodah zarah gila aros and shvichas damim, we all know that avodah zarah gila aros and shvichas damim, a life with those is not worth living, and therefore of course we have to give up our lives. On the other hand, if the choice that we're offered is your life or sinas chinam, what would the halacha be? Sinas chinam. So how can the Gemara say, and this is from a halachic perspective, how can the Gemara say that it's worse? Furthermore, just to be not controversial, but to mention an opinion in halacha, although it's not maybe halacha lemaisa, it's machlokes rishonim, but there is an opinion amongst the rishonim that the issur of sinas chinam is the issur is to be a tzavua, to be a hypocrite, to be echad b'peh, echad b'lev, that if you don't like somebody, not to smile at them. That's the issur of leisisnas achicha bilvavecha. But if I go up to somebody and I say, good morning, I can't stand your guts, have a nice day, I'm no longer over, I'm not over anything halachically, according to at least one opinion in halacha. So this is an aveira, terrible though it is, but one which can be, I can get round it, according to at least one opinion in halacha, by telling the person, by not keeping the sin of the leif. So how do we understand this? What does it really mean? As an aside, but an important aside, the definition of sin as chinam. My father told me he heard from Rav Elia Zichrono Livracha, I don't think it's in Sefer. And Sefer gives a different test as far as I'm aware. What does Sinaskinam mean? And this itself is such an amazing and powerful lesson. What happens? Reuven says something about Shimon. Shimon gets to hear about it. Reuven says something derogatory, something detrimental, something not nice about Shimon. Shimon gets to hear of it. Shimon is then forced to make a choice, to interpret that event. And there are two courses that are on the Chura open to him. He can either choose to say, it was probably a throwaway remark, a careless, thoughtless, insensitive remark, made on the spur of a moment, a put down. We live in a world where it's been elevated to an art form. The witty one-liner, the throwaway comment. And Shimon can say to himself, that if I would go to Reuven and say to him, Reuven, do you know what you said about me last Tuesday? He'd probably scratch his head and say, I actually don't remember. Quite an expert at one-liners. I don't even remember what I said. Lo yetzir, he does remember what he said. If Shimon would go to him and say, do you know I'm losing sleep over this? Do you know this is really eating into my soul? It's really bugging me? It really, really hurt me? Is that what you meant? In all probability, I put it to you, in the vast majority of cases, Reuven will say, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't mean that. It was a remark. I shouldn't have said it. It's one of those things. I was in conversation with somebody and I made a throwaway remark. If I would have known, was it designed, was it calculated to really hurt you? No. On the other hand, the other possible interpretation that Shimon can put on the event is by saying that it was a remark that was designed and calculated to hurt me. He's got it into me. It was thought, it was crafted carefully. And this is really what he meant, what he wanted. Shimon is forced with a choice. He's forced to make a choice to interpret and to analyze that comment. And if Shimon chooses to analyze the remark and to say that the analysis of it is that he intended to hurt me rather than taking the other route and saying it was probably a throwaway remark, on what basis does he choose one interpretation over the other? Does he have any evidence? No, that's chinam. It's sinah which is perpetuated and sustained, and this cycle of sinner that we know that happens, and a remark goes back and it turns into against the breaker. On the basis of what? Of course Reuven was guilty, he should never have said it. But Shimon, when he hears that, has a choice to interpret it. And if he chooses one analysis over the other without any evidence, that sinner which is perpetuated chinam for no good reason. And I deal with people the whole time. I'm sure so do you. And this sort of thing, if we have to do a statistical analysis and work out how many people actually go about and genuinely, in a cold, calculating manner, try and ruin other people's lives, Baruch Hashem, it's in the minority. In the vast majority of cases, it's just that, a throwaway, a careless, thoughtless put down. And it's incumbent upon us, if we are the recipient of such a comment, to think about it and to say that if I choose this to perpetuate this cycle of sinner, that is chinam. It's just a definition, possibly, one definition of sinas chinam. Let's move on. Famous medrash in Shlach Lecha, where the Meraglim come back, as we know, on Shivat of the Tammuz, and that night, and they cry that night, and the famous medrash says, the Rabbeinu Shlomo says to them, Atem b'chisen b'chia sholchinam lefonai, you cried needlessly before me, says the Rabbeinu Shlomo, ani ekva lachem laila zu b'chia l'zoyros, I will institutionalize crying. This night will forever be associated with crying. At that moment in time, the die is cast. And it is decreed. There is a gezeira in Shamayim at that point in time that the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed. How do we understand this medrash? The Rabbeinu Shlomo always reacts to what we do. And he doesn't, generally speaking, deal with us on the basis, although of course he has the prescience and the foreknowledge and he knows exactly what's going to be, but that's not the way he reacts to us. For us to have a meaningful relationship with an infinite being, with a Borei Olam, it has to be in terms that we can relate to and we can understand. And therefore he deals with us on the basis of what we've done, what we've said, not on the basis of the future. And Chazal yet are telling us that at that moment in time, the Gezerah was set. What about their future, their later Bechira? How can it be that from that moment in time it was absolutely decreed that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed? What does this mean? Agav, at one level probably, Pshat in the Medrash is that the capacity to cry is a very powerful one. Shari Tfilah Ninalu, but Sharedim Olay Ninalu. Even though the gates of Tfilah are to a certain extent closed, but the gates of tears, we're told, are not closed. The Kotzkareva asks very famously, if the gates of tears are never closed, why have gates? What's the point of having gates? And the Kotzke, in his usual incredibly incisive, pithy style, he says it's to keep the gates are there to keep out the crocodile tears. And this is what it's about. Relating to the Rabbeinu Shalom through our emotions, when it's a genuine outpouring of emotion, a desire for intimacy, a feeling that I'm not as close to the Rabbeinu Shalom as I'd like to be. There is nothing more beautiful, more precious, more intimate than that relationship, cultivating and maintaining that relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Said the Rabbeinu Shalom, you abused crying. B'chiyah shel chinam, there's nothing worse than that. You took that capacity to relate to me at the deepest level and you abused it, and b'chiyah shel chinam, But what does this medrash really mean? We spoke about shechina. What we're missing is shechina. What is the definition of shechina? Now of course, shechina is a very broad term, and it means many things, but I'd like to focus on one definition, one aspect of what Shechina means. This is brought in the Rambam, in Meir Nevuchim, the Rebbe Yehuda talks about it. If we look into Chazal, it's a theme that becomes apparent. Shechina, at one level, at a very important level, is the perception, the awareness, the realization of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and his power and his involvement with every aspect of our lives. And I believe it, we spoke about it on a previous occasion briefly. That's what Shechina means. Because if we actually think about it, what has actually changed in terms of what happened, what was happening at the time when we had the Beis HaMikdash and now? In substance, in essence, nothing has changed. Chaim Bertzoinai, In the same way that nothing can happen, I'm only standing here at this moment in time because at this moment in time there is a rot and a boire, as Azazel Zayin Chaim Bersoinai. Nothing can exist if it is divorced, disassociated from the source and the root of all reality. There's no difference then to now. The Rabbeinu Shalom ran the world then and he runs the world now, and nothing can happen without him. So what's really changed? Where has the Shechina become absent from? What's really changed? What's altered? One small, tiny, but crucial area of the universe. And that's in my heart and in my mind. My perception. Because Shechina takes two forms. Shechina is the realization, the perception, the awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and his power and his involvement. And that is brought about in two ways. It's either foisted upon us. It's either forced upon us. When the Rabbeinu Shel Olam intervenes in such a way that it is obvious and it is apparent, and we call that nace. Or, more difficult, is when we live in a world where we see teva, and we don't always see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we make choices. Choices of interpretation. We make choices when things happen to us, the decisions that we take. Do we choose Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid? Do we choose to create, to open our hearts and minds and give space for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to create that perception and awareness? Or Chas V'Shalom, we have Bechira to deny it. And there are many rayas, there are many proofs to this. Maybe I'll just enumerate one or two. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says about Kiddush Levona, Kol HaMavorach Al HaChiddush Bizmano, Kino Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. Somebody that says Kiddush Levona Bizmano, it's Kino Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. It's as if he's been absolutely Mekabel the Pnei Hashchina. And we learn it from Gzeira Shova. HaChiddush HaZeh Lochem and Zeh Keli Van Vehi. What does Zeh mean? Zeh is this. There it is. There's an immediacy. It's right there in front of me. And it's the same Zeh. Exactly the same Zeh. And the question, of course, is, I don't know what it's like in Gilders Green, but I can tell you that in Edgware, on a dreary, drizzly February Motzei Shabbos, standing in a corner trying to say Kiddush Levana, trying to see the Levana, trying to chat the Levana, and then saying it, we're, Chazal are comparing that experience to the Gilui Shechina that Klal Yisrael experienced with all the multitude of Nisim that accompanied Kriyas Yam Suf. I can't think of two more dissimilar experiences. The incredible Gilui Shechina of Kriyas Yam Suf, the Zeh Keli Van Deyu, there he is, I see him, it's clear. Rav HaShivcha L'Ayom, Asher Roi Yechezkul Aguzi Bin V'Osoi. And that's exactly the same as being Mavarech Al HaChedosh Bizmanoi. What's the comparison? And the answer is, of course, there's more to it than this, but just in briefly, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this. These are the two sides of Shechina, the two sides of the same coin. Except that at Kriyas Yam Suf, that realization was forced upon us, but we threw nace. It was incredibly clear. If a person is able, on Davka, on a dreary February evening, to be Mavarech on the Chodesh Bizmanoi. This is an event that can be calculated astronomically, virtually down to the nanosecond. I know exactly when it's going to be. And therefore there is the temptation to say, this is an astronomical event, it happens, the Levana rejuvenates itself every month, 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalokim, I know exactly when it's going to be. And therefore I have choices to make. I can choose to say, this is what happens. This is the Teva, this is what happens. Or I can choose to go out and say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mechadesh Chodoshim. That is to create Shechina. And that is actually greater. G'dayla hachnotas orchin mekabolas pnei Shechina, we learn from Avraham Avinu. What did Avraham Avinu do? He's talking to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and three smelly Arabs come along. And he's, as far as he's concerned, and what does he do? He tells the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'll put you on hold, I'll play some nice music. And from that Chazal learned Gedolach was the Tzolchim in Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina. Aber ich frage euch, how did Avraham Avinu know? It's a dangerous game you're playing. You get it wrong, you can't afford to get it wrong. How did Avraham Avinu know? L'chula, there can only be one answer. Because there can only be one thing greater than being than Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina, than being a passive recipient of Pnei Hashchina, with the Hanah. Even our God only called it Shikhanimotse, the thing that we're all working towards and waiting for. The most incredibly pleasurable, mind-blowing experience that is Nevuah. I always say it's an incredible chiddush that Vayisin of Ayyad to even perceive them, that he even recognized and realized they were there and they had needs. But he was so focused, Gemul Nasha Yishchot, that he was so focused on the needs of others that he noticed it, and not only that, he said to himself, here there is an opportunity not to be a passive recipient of Shechina, but to create Shechina. To foster an awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom and his presence through my Maisim, the Baruch Elokei Avraham. And he would give them to eat and he would treat them incredibly, and they'd turn around and they'd thank him and he'd say, me, not me, Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, who's he? Oh, Shechina. You've created an opportunity has presented itself for you to create Shechina, to create and foster awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom and his presence and his power in the world. That is greater than being than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Maybe one more raya. Famous Yalkut, Magon talks about it in the Mun of Ashkocha. In a Zeh Oimei Dacha Kosleinu Mashgiach Menachalenis Meitzis Menacharakim, a famous Medrash. Again, that word Zeh, that immediacy, that perception, that awareness of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Olam Leizoza Shechina Mikosel HaMaravi. Chazal tell us the Shechina never departed from the coastal Maravi. What does this mean? Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbeinu Shalom swore that the coastal would never be destroyed. What does this mean, says the Gaon? It means that when you stand at the coastal and you stop and you think as a student of history, Zechor Yomei Tzolom, and you think to yourself, don't have time to go to the Medrash, why is the coastal even there? How come that all the conquerors, Yerushalayim was conquered 19 times if I'm not mistaken, all the different powers, and they knew, they were not foolish, they knew this is the symbol of our hope, our beacon of hope and inspiration, the place that we turn to, the place that we daven at, and we keep all our so-called nationalistic aspirations alive. It didn't occur to the Ottomans, the Turks, the Mamluks, the Byzantines, the Jordanians to get rid of it. When you stand there and you realize, you stand at those stones and you realize, there has to be a Rabbeinu Shalom. It doesn't make sense otherwise. That realization that you've created, that's Shechina. There, oh, you made that happen. But for Shechina to be fostered, Shechina is very delicate, it's very fragile. This form of Shechina, the form of Shechina that I choose to create. And it needs the right environment. Because it's not enough that which I know, because I can know many things. The Vyadata Hayom is never enough. It's the starting point. My Hashkafas have to be in order, but I must move on from then. To think about it and to take, this is really what Torah and Yiddishkeit is all about, is taking all those things that I know and utilizing them, as the Zohar HaKadosh calls mitzvahs, itin, eitzah, to do that hashav el alev, to traverse those few but crucial inches from the intellect to the emotions. And we have a word for that, and that's bitachon. Bitachon, says the Chaim Salvavus, the definition of bitachon is menuchas nefesh habiteach, the lashon of the Chaim Salvavus. It's an emotion. It's taking that emuna that exists at a theoretical, abstract level, and so internalizing it that I feel it, that I feel compelled to act upon it and to live my life that way. And with this we can begin to draw the pieces together. Because there's a little piece of Gemara there, not everybody is goyris it, but it's a little piece of Gemara that I deliberately left out. The Gemara, in discussing the differences between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, says that at Bayis Rishon, Rishoim hoyu. Calls them Rishoim. Ela shetolu bitchaynam b'hakadosh baruch hu. They had bitachon. They had bitachon. Rishonim hayu avei dezara gil arayis v'shlichas damim. But the same paradox that we asked before, that it is possible, man is a complex animal, in the same way that it is possible for sinat chinam to coexist with being oisik b'gemilas chasadim, it is also possible to give in to our yetzaharas, to be considered and called by Chazal or Rasha, and still to have bitachon. Although it's a bit of a machlokes rishonim, the Chofetz Chaim and others quote a Yalkut, Rabbi machoivim la Rasha, v'habiteach b'Hashem chesed yisoy v'venu. Pasuk in Tehillim. Many painful things befall a Rasha. Usually one translates and understands the pasuk as it being a contrast. Pasuk of two halves. Rabbi machoivim la Rasha, many bad things will befall a Rasha. On the other hand, habiteach b'Hashem, somebody that is b'iteach b'Hashem chesed yisoy v'venu will be surrounded by chesed. Says the Yalkut name, it's referring to the same person. Rabbi Machoivim LaRosha, the Lashon of Yalkut is Afilu Rosha Ubeiteach BaHashem Chesed Yisrei Devenu. You can be a Rosha, don't have time to go into it in detail, but it is, according to Chazal, it is possible to be a Rosha, to give in and to engage in Averus, even terrible Averus, but still deep down to have stayed in touch with our core, with our essence, and to be a b'teach b'Hashem, and b'tochen, this is the chiddush, Rabbeinu Yonah says it, and others say it, that if one truly has b'tochen, which means the menuchas nefesh b'teach, I genuinely feel it, and only the Rabbeinu Shlomo knows that, I have that awareness of Shechina, not just at an intellectual level, but at an emotional level, chesed yisei v'venu. Says the Gaon, we now understand the sheirish of sinas chinam was the bechia shel chinam. The lashon in Chazal, of course, is not coincidental. Let's analyze it. Atem bechisem bechia shel chinam lefonai, said the Rabbeinu Shlomo, you cried a bechia shel chinam, a needless cry, a cry that was unnecessary. Why? Because if you would have bitachon, I've told you, I'm going to take you into Eretz Yisrael, everything's going to be fine. And your response was an emotional response. That menuchas nefesh habiteach wasn't there. You cried. It's almost an instinctive response. We don't have bitachon. We don't recognize, we don't realize that it's the Rabbeinu Shalom, we don't feel that it's the Rabbeinu Shalom that is in charge and has the capacity and runs the world down to the tiniest detail. As the Sefer HaChinuch says famously, the mitzvah, the avera of nekama, the chinuch reish memala, famous words, says the Sefer HaChinuch that nekama, revenge, is actually absurd. Mishroshe ha-mitzvah she-yeda ha-odom b'yitzin ha-libay k'kela she-yikreyu mitoy v'ad rahu siba she-tobay olav meis ha-shem baruchu u-miyad ha-odom miyad ish-ochiv la-yih edov ha-bilti rotzin ha-shem baruchu. Nekama, revenge, is absurd because if one truly had nekama, you'd recognize that through nekama all you're doing is shooting the messenger. And even another baal b'chira, miyad ha'odom, miyad ish ochiv, lo yehi adava, nothing can happen to you if it isn't, if the Rabbeinu Shem doesn't allow it to happen. And al kein, therefore, kishet yitzareyu or yachiveyu adam, when somebody chepers you, yeida b'nafshoi ki avoynoisov gormu, v'hashem yizborach gozer olav b'kach. You should recognize, who is the root cause of it? Me. The other person is not the cause of the bad thing that's befallen me. If we internalize that, we realize that every sinner is chinam. Because if I understand and I feel that it's the Rabbeinu Shlomo that's in charge, and the other person is only able to do something against me if somehow I am guilty, because if I was innocent, it wouldn't happen. And therefore every sinner is chinam. And that's what the Medrash meant. Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam lefonai, you've exhibited a flaw in your midas. And that ultimately, if it isn't rectified, will manifest itself in Sinat Chinam. Because the yesod of the shayrish of Sinat Chinam is a lack of bitachon. And if there's a lack of bitachon, then everything falls by the wayside. It's not because the leisisnas achicha bilvavecha per se is such a terrible avera. It's because of what it shows. The shayrish of your emunah. The tzaddik demunosa yichyeh says the gorn, or chabakuk demidon alachas is bitochen. The tzaddik demunosa yichyeh, and therefore leisachmoid, if you think about it, it's the same thing as the shayrish, it's the omud, the yisoid of all of the aseret adibras. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that's why Bais Sheni is Chomer Lom. Because that is the Yisoid, that is the Sheirish. The Avodah, therefore, the surprising cause of causeless hatred, is the lack of Bitochen. And if we work on Bitochen, not just at a theoretical level, but at an emotional level, where we use Torah Mitzvahs to genuinely feel and cultivate that relationship with the Rabbeinu Shleilam and create Shechina in our own mind, in our own heart, Nitzah Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shleilam will return the Beis HaMikdash.